Welcome to the Connections Church YouTube and online channel. Our desire is that every person who watches and listens to the preaching of God's Word would be helped, inspired, transformed, and mobilized. Join us now as we dive into the preaching of the living Word of God.
This morning, I want to continue sharing on our theme for the month, which is covenants and promises. And this month, we've discovered the beauty and the power of the blood covenant. Amen. Specifically relating to the new covenant that was cut at the cross of Calvary. And I don't think anyone could say that understanding what Jesus did at the cross doesn't move them and doesn't change something within them. And this morning I want to change the focus slightly from the focus I've maintained over the past few weeks. And I want to preach into another covenant that I think few people pay attention to or appreciate, and that is the covenant of marriage. Something that I believe has been lost to a large degree in the world. People don't put much emphasis on it, don't understand the power of the covenant within marriage. And my hope is this morning is that every person here will have an understanding of what God intended for marriage. Yeah. Amen. And how if we aligned ourselves with expectations laid out in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, we would experience strong and fulfilling marriages. And so that's my heart's desire, is that we as a church would be a church with fantastic marriages, godly marriages, understanding that we've entered into covenant with one person for life and that we can live it full out. And that's what I'm trusting for this morning. Amen. Can I ask you all to stand with me as we pray and just commit this time to God? We worship you this morning, Lord. We honor you. We bless you. We thank you, Father, that we are here today because of a covenant cut at the cross of Calvary. Blood was shed. You redeemed us. You purchased us for a price. And because of that eternal covenant, Father God, you have made promises that will never be broken because you cannot deny yourself. Lord, this morning I pray that you would speak into our hearts through your word. Lord, that you would convict us, that you would shape us, make us, mold us. Father, I make it known today that I trust in you completely. In my weakness, Lord, I lean into you. Think through my mind, speak through my lips. Teach and unveil your word to your people here today. I thank you that your word goes forth and doesn't return void, but accomplishes something powerful in our hearts today. I pray for those who are to be married, Lord God, that you would prepare them for this sacred covenant. I pray for those that are married. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray for those, Lord, who have experienced the brokenness of a broken marriage. And I pray, Lord God, that you would give them an understanding of your will for their lives, that you want to bless them. You want to give them a future and a hope. And so we commit this time to you, Lord God. We pray that you would bless it, that you would do something new in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Thank you so much. On the 23rd of December in the year 2000, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was 32 degrees outside. There was no wind. It was a beautifully sunny day. I stood in front of a church at the pulpit with my two best men waiting for my bride to arrive to church. We had, in the days prior to the wedding, gone through sort of the run-through of how everything was supposed to happen that day. And so everything happened perfectly. I remember arriving, I had to go to the front, I had to stand with my best men on my right. And when Nadia would arrive, I would turn around, I would look down the aisle, I would see her walking down the aisle. And then I was told, when she gets to the fourth row, you walk out and you go and take her from her father. Why are we laughing? And so everything went well. And I remember seeing my wife-to-be walk around the back end of the church. She appeared at the top of the aisle. And as she began walking down, I noticed that her father was like crying. And I'm not sure why, but I kind of enjoyed it. I was like, don't laugh, laugh bad, don't laugh. But, you know, and I was determined. When she got to the fourth row, I went, I basically gave him a quick high five. I grabbed her and I took her from her father. She's no longer his. She's mine. Amen. And so we were told, once you take her, you walk up to the front, you stand in front of the pastor, And we went to the front of the past. He's standing there smiling. He's a man that we love and we appreciate. He's our spiritual father. And so he welcomed everybody and said, we are so glad that you're here to witness promises being made to each other. As witnesses, we can hold them to account. We can encourage them. And he said, let's pray. And so he prayed and he said, now we are going to sing two songs. And we sang two songs. And then the most incredible thing happened. Blank. I can remember nothing else that took place on my wedding day. I was so focused on the insignificant things that had to happen, I didn't focus on the most important thing, which was the covenant I was entering into and the promises I was making to somebody else. Amen. I've conducted many weddings over the past years. And I often see the same gray mist of distraction wash over the couples who are making promises to one another. All too often, the focus is on the wedding dress, the venue, the decorations, the atmosphere, the party, the music. But little importance is placed on the very thing that binds couples together for life, the covenant, the promises, the agreements that we enter into that we say we will never break. The covenant they are making with one another based on the living word of God. Yeah. Amen. We have many people this morning that are here that are married. And if you're honest with yourself, how focused were you on the significant parts of your wedding day? Perhaps when you got married, you didn't know Jesus, and so you didn't place much importance on the significance of the vows or the promises you were making to your spouse. Maybe you just wanted to get married so that, you know, you went through the motions, you did what you had to do just so you could reach that goal. And I'm convinced that many people, myself included, started the journey of marriage without understanding the power and the significance of what we were doing. Yeah. I'm preaching on the topic this morning because I sincerely feel that followers of Jesus need to know what God intended for marriage. Amen. And then for them to enjoy a marriage that is actually a blessing and fulfilling. I'm not only speaking to people that are married today. I'm not preaching to just the married couples here today. I want every young person and every single person who is not married to understand that marriage is a gift from God. Amen. It's worth waiting for, it's worth praying for, and it's worth preparing for. Prepare yourself before you get to that point of covenant. Prepare yourself before you say your vows, before you make promises, so that when you do it, you're not focused on the insignificant things of the day, but you're focused on the promises and the vows that you are making to somebody else. That's meant to last a lifetime. In modern society, young people feel that marriage is archaic. It's irrelevant. It's a weight that they're not willing to commit to. Many people don't want to commit to one person for the rest of their life. I've had people tell me, how, Brent, can one person commit to one person for the rest of their lives? How absolutely boring it must be. You've heard that before? Less and less people are engaging in the act of marriage, in the act of making covenants, in the act of committing to one another for life. You know, it's amazing. I have now been married for this year, on the 23rd of December, 24 years. I wake up next to the same person every morning. Every morning I'm exposed to an angelic being that lays next to me, albeit not having brushed her teeth, not having brushed her hair, not having put makeup on. Amen. But I do it because I'm in a covenant, not because I feel like it. Amen. There have been married people here that have been unhappily married for years. I'm saying sensitive things today, amen?
Yeah.
Myself and Nadia went through many years of experiencing an unhappy marriage. They don't thrive, but they survive. I don't believe God wants anyone to survive their marriage. It's meant to be a blessing. It's meant to increase the quality of their lives. He wants them to live in the fullness of what that covenant means. Amen. God intended so much more for us than to survive our marriages. In Genesis 2 verse 8, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a suitable helper. God knows that man and woman need each other. He designed man and woman to exist with each other, to love one another, to share their lives with each other, to enjoy each other, to be lifelong companions. Amen. You may feel that you're trapped in a mediocre marriage. I want you to know today, the best is yet to come. Say that with me today. The best, everyone together, the best is yet to come. God intended marriage to be a blessing. Amen? And so all we have to do today, if we don't understand this, a fantastic, fulfilling marriage is only a recommitment away. And we're going to have an opportunity to do that. Some people here today, you might be here this morning and you've gone through the pain of a broken marriage. Your hopes and your dreams seem to have evaporated. For many, the pain of the broken marriage has grayed the beauty of the sacred marriage covenant. But I want you to know this morning that God will give you who mourn a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, and festive praise instead of despair. I want you to know, church, I want you to know, if you are somebody that has gone through the brokenness of marriage, God has a plan for your life. God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to leave you in a place of despair. Amen. God is for you. Ask your loving Father to heal your wound and to heal the loss and pain you experienced. Ask God to bring wholeness in your life. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you, to give you a future filled with hope. Know this morning that if you have experienced the brokenness of marriage, God wants to give you a future filled with hope. Amen. If you've missed the past 3 weeks, I encourage you to go to the Connections Church YouTube channel and go and watch the sermons. I started out with a sermon entitled The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread. I basically laid a foundation of what the blood covenant is. The second week, I did part one of divine exchanges. And then I did part two of Divine Exchanges. And I encourage you to go and watch those because it will help you to gain an understanding of the power of covenant. And in our marriage context, that covenant stands and is a binding agreement between men and women that says, I have made promises that I'll keep until the day I die. Marriage covenant is a powerful promise. Amen. When a man and woman enter into a covenant of marriage, they're making a binding agreement with each other. They're making promises to one another. Unfortunately, humans are very, very bad at keeping their promises, as I mentioned. And it's for this reason that we need God in the center of our marriages. He is the compass that keeps us moving in the right direction. Amen? When God is excluded from the marriage, the foundation is unstable. So this morning, let's have a look at the marriage covenant and how it parallels with the covenant observed in Scripture and what that means for our marriages. When you enter into covenant, as I've shared over the last 2 weeks, there are procedures and processes and exchanges that take place, and the same thing happens in our marriages. So the very first thing we do is we exchange our robe and our belt. We choose to give ourselves to our husbands and our wives. My life is no longer my own. Amen. It is yours. And my life is yours. Your life is mine. I will dream your dreams for your life and you will dream mine. You will love what I love and I will love what you love. My identity is found in yours, and yours is found in mine. What is mine is yours. And everyone's going, uh-uh. What is mine is yours. In my house, it goes like this. What is mine is yours, and what is yours is yours. What is yours is mine. Amen. I will fight your battles, and you will fight mine. I will defend you, and you'll defend me. And so when we stand up front of the pastor exchanging our vows, we are making promises to say, I'm giving you my whole life, and you're giving me yours. The second thing we do is we cut covenants. When covenant was cut in the Bible, blood would be shed. And shed blood speaks to a binding agreement between covenant partners. And I know many people haven't considered this. You might not have given this thought, and I do apologize if it's a little bit PG. But the thing is, God built something significant into woman that allowed them to cut covenant to ensure that we have an unbreakable agreement between husband and wife. In God's plan, when man and woman, and I'm going to use a big word because I didn't know how else to say this, consummate their marriage. Do you know what consummate means? If you're young, ask your parents. When a young man and a young woman, or an older young older man, older woman consummate the marriage, there's blood that's shed. This is biology. Go and check it out. Have you ever given thought to the significance of that? Blood is shed. It's because God has enabled us to enter into an everlasting covenant with our covenant partner. Amen? This signifies that a husband and wife have entered into an unbreakable covenant. Genesis 4 verse 1 says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I remember a number of years ago, my daughter had started a reading plan. We had encouraged her. We said, listen, girl, you have to start reading the Bible. And she started in Genesis. And a few days later, she comes to me and she says to me, Dad, I'm not quite sure what I'm reading, because it says Adam knew his wife Eve, but he only knew her in Genesis 4. Didn't he know her before? And I'm like, I said, okay, girl, so what happened was they had to consummate. And she's going, no, I don't understand. And I said, well, you know, they had to be intimate. And she goes, no, I don't understand. I said, they had to have sex. And she had the most wholesome, most spiritual response. She went, ew. but the thing is, how beautiful that God designed it into man that we were able to cut covenant with one another. Amen. It's an incredible reminder that I've entered into an unbreakable agreement with you and you with me. And it's kind of sad that in our modern day culture, we don't recognize the value and the sanctity of sex. People cut covenant with multiple people without understanding that their marriage covenant was intended between one man and one woman for life. Amen. The next thing you do is you exchange names. As mentioned last week, when God entered into a covenant with Abram, he added the middle consonant of his own name into Abram's name, and Abram became Abraham. In Genesis 17, verse 3, it says, Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. And likewise, when we enter into the marriage covenant, there is an exchanging of names. The man's last name becomes the woman's last name. Sorry, the man's last name becomes the woman's last name. Amen. By changing your last name, you're declaring that my future now looks different. I was on a specific trajectory, but now I am joined together with Brent Smith. I have taken his name. My future now looks different. We live in the fullness of the blessing of the covenant we have with each other. We step into our destiny together. Amen. I'm identified with you, and you are identified with me. The next thing we do when we enter into a marriage covenant is we make a scar or a mark. And I explained this a few weeks ago. When you entered into a covenant with somebody, you would make a mark on your arm or on your hand. And that mark on your arm or your hand would display the fact that you are in covenant with somebody. And so if you were doing your own thing and an enemy comes against you and they want to attack you or they want to cause trouble, all you have to do is open up your jacket and show them your arm or lift your hand and show them your hand and say, look, there is a mark on my hand. I have a covenant partner. I have no business with you and you have no business with me. Amen. And then what the enemy would do is would turn around and run away and say, listen, there is more to him, there is more to her than meets the eye. They have a covenant partner. And in the modern day context, when we get married, do we understand that there is a scar or a mark upon us that is visible to the whole world to see? And it's the ring that we wear. So we put a marking on our body. And every single time some floozy comes along and says, I'm liking you, Pastor. Say like so like a sexy. Promise you no one's ever said that to me. All I have to do is lift my hand. I have a mark. And this mark shows I'm in covenant with one person for life. So, stop there. Do you see how powerful it is that we fulfill all the covenant requirements, all the exchanges happen within marriage? How powerful is that? And so I'm walking through life. I'm like, you know, for a season, I had expanded as a person. Let me put it in clear terms. I got fat. Okay. And so I had to remove the ring off of my finger because it was uncomfortable. And then I read a book called The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread. And I encourage you to read it to understand blood covenant even better. I read this book called The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread. And it spoke about the mark that you bear. It speaks about the wound that you cut, that you can show that you're in covenant. And I realized I hadn't worn my ring for about 3 years. And so I went and purchased 3 rings of various sizes to accommodate my fluctuating swelling. And I put it on my finger and I've not taken it off ever since. And I want to encourage you, if you're a married man or a married woman, understand that you bear a mark on your body, that you are in covenant with one person. Make sure you keep your covenant mark on your hand. Yeah. Amen. Matthew 19 verse 6 says, so there are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. And then finally, you give covenant terms. And I haven't mentioned this over the last few weeks because I reserved it specifically for today. When covenant was cut, you would go through all these steps, these processes, these procedures, and these exchanges. But the next thing you would do is give each other covenant terms. In the covenant between God and Abram, covenant terms are detailed in Genesis 12, 15, and 17. For the sake of time, you can go and read that at home. But God promises Abram land in Genesis 15, verse 18. He promises him descendants in Genesis 15, verse 5. He promises that he would bless him in Genesis 12, verse 2 to 3. And he said, I will give you an everlasting covenant in Genesis 17, verse 7. And when we stand on our wedding day and we are making our vows and our promises to one another, we are sharing our covenant terms. When entering into covenant, we stand before witnesses and give the covenant terms to our partners. I say, all my assets are yours. All my money, all my property, and all my possessions are yours. If you need them, you don't even have to ask. Just come and get it. What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. And if I die, all my children are yours by adoption, and you're responsible for my family. But at the same time, you also get my liabilities. If ever I get into trouble financially, I don't come and ask you for money. I come to you and I say, where's the bank card? And everyone's like, we are in covenant. Everything I have is yours and everything you have is mine. Both assets and liabilities. When entering into a wedding covenant, we stand before witnesses and we give our covenant terms. We make vows to each other. These are not suggestions. They are not vague guidelines. These are promises. Amen. Do we remember? Do we understand the significance of what we did on the day that we got married? Do we remember and understand that we entered into an everlasting covenant with one person for life? I know that many of us this morning might feel that there's more to marriage than what I'm experiencing. We, after all, we're human. We make mistakes and we repeat those mistakes. We break promises. We hurt the ones we love. And we disappoint God. But God is gracious. And God wants to bless us. God wants to bless our marriage. He wants us to enjoy the fullness of the marriage covenant. Amen. So let's choose today to devote ourselves afresh to our marriages. If your marriage is strong, thank God. And let's trust God that it goes from strength to strength. If your marriage is struggling, let's commit ourselves to the covenant we made with our spouse. Trust God to renew and revive our marriages. If your marriage is broken, don't give up yet. Listen to me, don't give up yet. Let God strengthen you as you remember the covenant with one another. Invite God into your marriage. A three-stranded cord is not easily broken. So often we live our lives and Jesus is outside of the marriage. And things fall apart and we go, I tried, it didn't work. Try with Jesus. Amen. So we announced in our marketing that we are going to do a renewal of vows this morning. And I invite all married people to partake in the renewal. We invite the presence of God always to rest on this sacred moment. I'm not forcing anyone, but I am inviting you. If you are a married couple, legally married couple, properly married couple, and you want to renew your vows, I'm going to ask all married couples to stand today. Please stand, all married couples. I'm going to ask you to face each other. Look deeply into each other's eyes. And we're going to reaffirm the covenant terms this morning. I'm going to ask that the husbands go first, and the husbands, please repeat after me. Start with I and say your name. I actually heard someone say I and say your name. Say your own name. So I and say your name. Reaffirm my covenant with you as my wedded wife. I promise before God and these witnesses to be your loving and faithful husband in abundance and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others as long as we both shall live. I give myself and all that I am to you. I'm going to ask the wives to keep staring into your husband's eyes. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, I and state your name. Reaffirm my covenant with you as my husband, I promise before God and these witnesses to be your loving and faithful wife. In abundance and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others as long as we both shall live. I give myself and all that I am to you. Having done again what was declared and requested by God, I pronounce that you're all married still. You may kiss your bride. I want to pray God's blessing. Let's just close our eyes and pray God's blessing over couples, over marriages. Father, I do pray. I pray this morning for those that are not yet married, those that are in preparation. Lord, may they understand the power of covenant, the power of the marriage covenant. May they keep themselves. Pray for their future marriage. Prepare for their future marriage. Father, I do pray for those that have experienced brokenness in marriage. Lord, I thank you that they are not giving up on the sacred covenant of marriage. Lord, I know that you have great plans for them. Lord God, that you would bring the right people at the right time into their lives. But this morning, I want to pray for those who are married, whether their marriages are thriving or whether the marriages are taking strain or whether their marriages are at the point of failure. Lord, I know, God, when Jesus, you are involved, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And so I pray strength into marriages. I pray your peace into marriages. I pray, Lord God, a unity into marriages. I pray, Lord God, a deep love into marriages. May you, Jesus, bind them together. Thank you, Father God, for your blessing and your favor. I pray that you give couples wisdom to navigate this journey of life. Thank you, Lord God, that they navigate into the future with joy, knowing, Lord God, that the marriage covenant is a blessing from God. And so I speak blessing into marriages. We bind the enemy who wants to destroy marriages. We command you to cease in Jesus' name. God, may your perfect will be done in marriages, in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, to close your eyes. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. You might be here and you've been listening to me speak about this covenant that we have with each other. But also the Bible speaks about this incredible covenant we have with God because of Jesus. Jesus came to the earth. The Bible says, because man sinned and rebelled against God and was separated from God, God loved us so much that he sent his son to come to earth to live a perfect life and then to pay for the sin that we had committed. And so Jesus comes, he dies on a cross, his blood is shed, and he redeems us from death. He redeems us from our sin. He buys us back at the price of his blood. I want you to know today, church, Jesus is God's expression of love. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. Jesus made an incredible, incredibly powerful statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. We cannot attain heaven unless we receive Jesus, who reconciles us to the Father. If you are not sure today that heaven is your home and that God is your Father and that you will spend eternity with him, you can be sure. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this covenant God, this God who loves us and made us promises, his promises are only towards those who are in his Son. Those who have received Christ. I'm going to ask you today, if you are not sure and you want to be sure, in just a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to give you the chance to respond and say, Jesus, I need you today. I want to receive you. I want to know that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that heaven is my home, that I will go to heaven for eternity, and that I will be the son or daughter of a living God. You'll know God's speaking to you because your heart will be pounding in your chest, or there's a stirring on the inside. That is the Holy Spirit drawing you to the Father. So if that's you, while every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, no one's looking around. This is not between you and the person next to you. This is between you and a resurrected Jesus, you and a living God. If you say to me today, Brent, something is stirring in me. I need to know him. I must receive him. I want to start a new journey in my life. I want God to forgive me and give me a future full of hope. While every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand, and I'm going to include you in a prayer that I believe will change your life for good. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand and say, Brent, that's me. Include me in your prayer. Is there anyone here today that's saying, Brent, I don't know him, but I want to make sure that I do today. I want to make sure that heaven is my home. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, Father. We thank you for covenant. We thank you for promises. We thank you for binding agreements. We thank you that you have given us companionship, that you have given us love. You have given us a helpmeet. You have given us a friend. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. I pray, Father God, that your presence would rest on your people and on marriages here. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And God's people say, amen, amen, amen.
We trust that you've been encouraged by the sermon. If you have decided to commit your life to Jesus, congratulations on the best decision of your life. Please let us know at info@connectionschurch.co.za. We'd love to celebrate your decision and help you navigate your new relationship with God. May God bless you.